Esse é o nosso papel de tudo. Mas agora, esse é o nosso papel de tudo. Our week was 19 and 20. So I said, 19 and 20. And it came to pass, as soon as he came into the front of the camp, and he saw the cow, and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of the hands, and break them beneath the mount. And he took the cow, which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. This morning, by the grace of God, the same way the gold calf in Israel was destroyed, so will every gold calf in our lives be destroyed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Happy attainment. That's what we want to do for us. We want to look at what we must do. The gold calf. The Old Testament gives us a type of what should happen, a pattern. What should take place? The pattern in this case was how Moses dealt with the gold calf, which had created Israel, or caused Israel to sin against God. The gold calf represents the religion that attends church that does not seek God. The gold calf represents the idol that turns our hearts away from God. The gold calf represents the result of our impatience in obtaining things. Because that's how it came about. It represents man's desire for religion rather than for God. The gold calf represents a copy of what we have seen elsewhere and translating it into the worship of God. The gold calf represents the festivities significance they attach to certain days and certain periods of the year. Significance that God has never attached to those things. And those of you who are hearing this for the first time, try to be shocked. Christmas is a book. So this is my book. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and they will be with you in the land where you live. Have you? And because men have refused to honor their father and their mother, so what do? You created mother's name, created father's name. So we don't care to honor them. This is a 5 days a year. But we look for 1 day. When we want to say that's what I want. Send them flowers. Send flowers to them. Make a cake and send to them. Say that's what I want. That's the type of the gold cup. The gold cup. Let me take it even deeper. Represents your job that keeps you away from God. And the moment it does that, it represents your children, your husband, your wife, your family. That keeps you away from God. What Jesus said in Luke chapter 14? He said, except you hate your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, yeah, even your very life, you cannot be my disciple. Many of us today will have to deal decisively with the gold calves in our lives. And I guarantee you that the judgment upon the gold calf is not pleasant. We won't have time to look at the others today, and later over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at those other things. Not only did God pass judgment on the gold calf, He passed judgment on the worshippers. And finally, we know that in passing that judgment, He opened the door of mercy to as many as will come back. The first of this evening, for this one, we want to look at the gold calf, its destruction, its judgment. The Bible tells us in verse 20 of Exodus 32 that Moses took the calf. He burnt it with fire and ground it into powder and scattered it upon the water. And then he gave some of the water to the children of Israel to drink. Now when I read that, I said, God, isn't this Moses too harsh? Who would he do that? Okay, I can understand destroying the gold calf, grounding it with powder, I can understand any of those things. Why force them to drink the water? And I got an answer. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. Let me read it from Proverbs 4, so that we can get the context. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man will be guilty. But he has set at naught all my counsel and moved none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When a fear cometh as desolation, and a destruction cometh as a war rage, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Verse 1. Therefore, as a result, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. Moses was telling us that even though these people have built a calf, in reality, where was the calf?
Inside their hearts.
So he said, if you're not going to let it leave you, you might as well consume it. Remember I said at the beginning, the Old Testament gives us a pattern, the calf, of what reality really is. Today, the golf cart is not something that is external. It may be there, external, but it's mostly internal. It's what you make of it that makes it a golf cart. It's what you decide it to become. That's what it becomes. Some people esteem a particular day, the Bible says, highly. Some others do not esteem it. The making of the car or the God of an idol is actually our own making. If you go to Catholic churches, they have statues erected. And I don't say anything. But I don't know. I wouldn't have a problem and walk up there and kneel down there and break the statue. Why? Because it's something I have to do. The man who does it, he doesn't have to do it. The men who erected it and put it there, you don't have to worship. You honestly don't have to worship. Christmas Day is there. The people who honor it have their reason for it. Then you have celebrated. From time to time, my Muslim friends have their festivals. Sometimes, the idol that is made not only by the hands of men, but also by the imagination in the hearts. So when we talk about the judgment of the gold calf, we're speaking about God judging what is in our hearts. Some of us actually have these idols under our bed. But they are only anything under the bed because we make them something in our hearts. So you find people who used to be in the old court, probably still are in the old court. They come out and say, I'm now born again. But the paraphernalia is still there in the house. And so, with their lips, they say we are on the side of God. But with their hearts, they are still in the old court. For them, let's give God a chance, a try. Maybe he won't perform. If he doesn't, there's only to go this one. That's not good. The prostitute comes to God. After they've left prostitution, then in a time of crisis, she's faced with a decision. Do I speak with God? Do I go back to prostitution? No matter what. If indeed in her heart she has left prostitution, it will not even be entertained in her subconscious to consider it. For many of us, our relationship with God is plastic. So when you stretch a plastic, it has its own limits. We call it the limit of plasticity. Beyond that, what happens? It breaks. So our relationship with God is so plastic that that relationship itself has become a broken. Because, unknown to many of you, relationship with God is supposed to be elastic and be stretched to any limit. By the time God stretched Abraham, he stretched him to the point that the knife was up. All he had to do was bring it down. And God said, stop. Now that's stretching. Some of us would have expected that after God said, take your son, your only son, to Mount Moriah, sacrifice him there, that the moment Abraham took the first step to go with Isaac, God would have said, now I know. Go back. Have you? Is that what God said? 3 days' journey. 3 days. Abraham traveled, knowing in his heart, as he was looking at Isaac, God was saying, dead man. This is a dead man. So the servants were going to worship God, the land and I, on the mountain. We were here. As they were going, a first lesson was that God gave Abraham ample time to come back. How many of us come back? Given ample time. While Abraham was going to write it, Isaac asked him, dead man, in the night. See the rope for binding the sacrifice. See the firewood for the roasting. Where is the sacrifice? That was enough to make Abraham break down and say, there's something wrong with this whole discussion. It can't be God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I want us to walk through this because sometimes we read it and it just seems like it's a simple thing. Abraham had four opportunities to turn back and be merged with his own broker, his love. He would have said, he had an opportunity to say, like many of us would say, and what is wrong in falling in love with my son? If God gave me emotion, should I not express it? But you see, the issue was not the love that Abraham had for Isaac. That was not the question. You know what the question was? Did he love God enough to give up the love? One of my sisters, I know that for many of us who play church, we like to play church. We just like it. We go to church, we dress well, we shake hands, we laugh, we backslap, we sing praise and worship, we jump up. We can even sing praise on Sunday, and then Sunday morning by the evening, we're in the nightclub singing the same praise song in the nightclub, smoking cigarette and everything. Just go to the stadium. Some others say, what are the songs they sing? You see them sing, lie, lie, la, la, lie. Have you ever heard them sing that song? You are worthy of love. Abraham had a gold calf. What was that gold calf? The love of Jesus. And the time came when God had to deal with that. If you go to Genesis 22, you will read it there. The instructions are clear. Let's go to Genesis 22, verse 1. There are very clear instructions given to Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that God did them for a test. Not them as in tempting him to sin, but testing. Now, the Bible put it there, said God tempted Abraham, right? Did Abraham know he was being tempted? He must remember that. Because when we are living, we say, God is just tempting me. Only care. What God has asked you to do, you will do it. And you will, the hand will not say anything. Remember one year, I didn't have enough time. And I was just talking to God. I said, it's been a long time, God, I'm giving you something. Okay, the next thing you will see, give to me. Said, okay. We went to church, that day just for the normal day, they just went to the church of us. We stuck it with the bag. Instead of the bag, with the shirt, the jacket. I mean, these are people who travel, we just did the travel in London, like what? So they had people's quality, dry cleans, hats, and everything. Shirt. My wife said she was delighted. She said, you don't have something like this, you need it. But all the side, Everybody wrapped their lips in the place of the altar, and they labeled everyone, they gave numbers to each of these gifts, and they wrapped the numbers inside paper, put it in the bag, and they passed it around the church, you pick your number, you pick them, everybody did this. There were 2 more left, and I picked my own, and I picked the last one, and I opened my number, to exactly as it was. Then I thought I was concerned, the shepherd didn't give anything to me. This is where God wants you to be. Where that thing you are holding on to, when we talk of dealing with the gold calf, we always see the gold calf as external. We never see the gold calf as something that concerns you inside. That God did tell Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son. Number 1. Number 2, thine only son. Number 3, Isaac. Do you see the description? Number 1, take now thy. Number 2, take now thy only. Number 3, Isaac. Number 4. That's complete. The complete description of what was going on. The Lord said to Raymond, take now thy ministry. The only ministry which you know. God says to me, I should leave this place. What would I say? There's no need in the house. There can be in the house. You don't have to do that. Can you not give your house to me? To do some worship. Take now your car, the only car, and go and give it. The only thing that you give it, you will give it to somebody else. Somebody who is not likely to be able to redeem. Right now, we check. I'm trying to give you mundane things that we are killing ourselves for. We are not talking about the fundamental one of the son. and only you have to understand what is happening. Because after this time, what had happened to Israel? Abraham did not even know where Israel was. Because when they left, there was no forwarding agreement. They were actually left into the desert and left there. Whether Israel was alive or not, Abraham did not know. So the only one that we have, as I just said, your only for good measure, calls his name, not Isaac, not Ishmael, but Isaac. And qualifies him, go down, Genesis, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What's a burnt offering? A burnt offering is something that is holy bone. You talk of burnt offering, you take the entire animal, after you have killed it, and you go put it up on everything. You place everything on the altar, and it's consumed 100%. If this doesn't mean anything, the whole thing goes. That's what we call the problem. Which means, when you have a burnt offering, do you intend to enjoy anything out of the burnt offering? You don't intend to enjoy anything out of the burnt offering. When Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord, all that Hannah did was to make sure that the boy had clothing. That's all. And as far as she was concerned, that boy was not his. It was all hers. God did not. Moses takes the cow, burns it in fire, grounds it to powder, scattered in the water. And the judgment over the gold cow is the same. I respond. Let's look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 23, I think. 2 Kings 23. This is Josiah. From verse 3. And the king stood by Elah and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant, which means they all acceded to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without outside of Jerusalem in the field of Kibron and carried the ashes of them into the bed. Inside the house of God, altars have been erected to who? Baal. Inside the house of God. Inside the house of God, groves had been dedicated to idols inside the house of God. But before then, what happened? They had made a covenant. And yet these things were inside the house. He said, bring them out. Bible says that you are the temple of God. Inside our hearts, we have altars erected. Them. Altars erected of a good life. Altars erected of a perfect family. That's what I want to show the world that we have the perfect family. Meanwhile, the kind of fighting that is going on inside. And by the way, it's normal husband and wife. I heard some preachers say, marriage is not to be endured, it's to be enjoyed. My brother, it is both. Their time for enjoyment and their time for endurance. Those two are the same thing. They're both sides of the same. There are ups and downs. Verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem. Then also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planet, and to all the hosts of heaven. Astrologers. Is it not interesting that we have believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who every Monday must read horoscopes? Who every year they want to read the horoscope, but they don't have their signs. I'm crap. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, onto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder. It's the same way the thing has to be born. Because you see, it is made of metal. So you have to bring it to the stage where you can now use a hammer and crush it until it is like fine powder. And then what do? We cut the powder there upon the graves of the children of the people. Put it where it belongs. And he break down the houses for the sodomites. What are the sodomites? Male prostitutes. That were by the house of the Lord. That's where they were. Close to the next door. Because in the worship of these idols, we need. Later when we look at the story, we see that when Israel worshipped the Vulcan, they were naked. They don't worship God. Where the women were hanging, where the women wore hangings for the groom, the women were not taking the house for worship. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and break down the high places of the gates that were in the memory of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high priests came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And they defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might take his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech, because they were ordaining and consecrating their children to idols. They say that that's how we name children in our days. Because we cheat, it's cheat that is dead. Meanwhile, we like ourselves, it's God. Know the children of him. That's what under the father's name. Okay. I just want to illustrate to you that the judgment over the whole house, over idols, is always the same. When God called Gideon, the one who destroyed the Midianites, what was the first thing God asked him to do? Who knows? He said, go and that your father's idol. Go and put it down. Brother, you and I cannot truly serve God as we should serve until we have destroyed every idol that is in our hearts. Under those idols are beaten, ground to powder, and cast away where they can never ever be brought together again. We cannot truly serve God. Many of us think that we're serving God, but I guarantee you we are not. We are trying to, and we are struggling with it. Let me tell you something. You should not struggle with it. You shouldn't stumble. There will be inconveniences, there will be discomfort. But even in all those, you should still have joy. Because if indeed he is all that matters, then you will be all that matters. Many of you, those of you are married men, who courted their wives long enough, people may even look at the church in the shop. You see? The time came when every evening, am I lying? Every evening, it doesn't matter whether she comes late for all or for sick. You are asking her to come late because she goes late or said it was a good. And when she comes back, I wouldn't even get angry that she's late. He said, I'll tell her, let's go and have some sweet somewhere. That's very good. You know what I'm talking about. But when it comes to the worship of God, that is super. You know what that God is going to do? You develop a habit and follow on. Even when there is no traffic, you don't even. Because you have developed a habit. That's from the part of it. When I became born again, I didn't have a job, I didn't have anything. The house fellowship, the closest house fellowship to me was the school area, I did fellowship. Most of you know that that's what it is. It's family life. Staying there and having house fellowship somewhere in Dillon, in that kind of business. Yeah? And guys in Dillon, that's like something I don't know. I didn't have a car, I didn't have a job, I didn't have money to transfer. But you know, the money that I had, I didn't have a job. So one day I logged into that van. House fellowship was at 6 o'clock and I start trekking up to so that I will stop. I will get to Sudbury area around 4 and I will go very close to the place of the house fellowship and then I will go and meet the rest of my friends who are still see us and see the life of us. I'll stay there for 1 to 1.5 hours and I'll get up and I will trek. So I was always the person on the house. I said, what do you have problems? Once house fellowship closes at 7, 8, sometimes I get up again and have my job after the job. Got a job some years later. After that, I was trying to serve God full time. The job went off, the shaka went off, I wasn't able to pay my rent, so I moved to a friend's house. And then I was sent to a church to assist another pastor there. And the pastor traveled, and I was to take charge for 1 month. And we pushed him 5 a.m. to the bed. It was 5 a.m. to the church. So I opened the doors, and then the place for worship. After service, I went everywhere to go, closed the doors. One day, after everybody had gone, I was talking. What I'm trying to say here is, as long as your worship of God is convenient, you haven't been. Get ready for that. You will lose your job. You will lose that thing that you won't hide, and you will see whether you worship God or not. Ezekiel chapter 14. I think I will close there. Ezekiel 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel on me, and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols where? In their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should they be inquired of at all by them? This is the ones who say they are seeking me, when they have placed an idol in their hearts. Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Let's go to God. God will say, yes, ask for that job, ask for that, ask for promotion, ask for promotion. Say you want that job there. Let's build it up for me so that we can be being calm. One day, that's why I am. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. What idols? What gold have we set up inside our hearts? They need to be beaten to power, they need to be burned and beaten to power. Cast into waters. Sweat you. Verse 6. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idol in his heart and put out the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man. I will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And he shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him. I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, the punishment of the prophet, shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord. God says, you go to the prophets, say, man of God, and you have been living God for your pastor. Please pray along with me, so I can receive the pastor. The prophet will prophesy. His sister, in the name of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your husband is coming in the next 1 month, right? And they want to receive that for them. So that when you see the devil coming to marry you, you will be married because you set up the heart of another. By the time he finishes with you, he said, the man of God, he said, man of God, why? Because if they have told you the truth, you will receive. Because you came to God with that idol set up in your heart, you have made up your mind, this is what I'm going to do. And then you went inquiring. And the one person who would have told you, don't do it.
But you see, you tell that little bit, you will see, tell that little bit. You have to tell that, you know, okay, you go support you. Brother and sister, it's very dangerous to have an idol in your heart. Very, very good. Because by the time destruction comes, when there is strength, what will happen to you? You will not be able to do it. Because you are the idol. You are closely linked. The Bible says that don't you know that your body is the temple of God, and he that defiles the body
does what? Defiles the temple of God, and when the Spirit of God comes, what will he do? He will destroy those who defile the temple of God. In Matthew chapter 15, from verse 1, then came to Jesus, Christ, and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do my disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? That's their own vocab was the tradition of the elders.
And God helped the church.
And we have the cultures, we know we you and I will come from parts of this world. And we have a culture, don't we? And God has his own culture. When you are born again, the culture you used to have no longer exists. The culture that subsists is the culture of these ones, they have their own culture, the traditions of the elders, the doctrines of the church. In this church is how we do this. In this church is how we do it. In our denomination is how we do it. I thought the denomination was supposed to be following what the Bible says. Is that not so? So what is making one denomination different from the other? It is the same that we are following. If indeed that's what we are doing. Tradition of the elders. It says, but the answer and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? By tradition of that. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But he said, whosoever shall save his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou hast be prompted by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God, or not effect by your tradition. Now, I don't know if this is true, so I'll say it with some caution. You also take it with a pinch of salt. As I said, in the tradition of the Pharisees in those days, instead of giving your parents the gifts, you take it to the temple. After your parents have died, you can go back and claim it. That's what they said. You don't know that. Now, if that is the practice, if that was the practice, then that's very good. Many of us do not support our parents while they are alive, but when they are dead, we will borrow money to pay them. Ye hypocrites! Well, the Isaiah prophesied of you, saying, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But their heart is what? But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What idols have you set up in your hearts? What doctrines are you looking at? Do they agree with the doctrine of God? Or are they just doctrines that you must choose? So that you can remain in whatever tradition of denomination or church that you choose. There are people who will not marry outside their village, outside their town, outside their clan. So when God's choice for them, who is from a tribe or a clan that is an enemy of their clan, they can't receive it. Why? Because they are tied to their tradition. And God's tradition is different from man's. When God wants them to go to a location, they say, I can't go there. Because in our tradition, we don't go to that place. But we will break the laws of God to go to where our tradition says we should go. But we will not break the tradition of what God says we should do. On the day that we have to worship God, we will elevate whatever young festival or whatever we are doing in our clan. I say, we are doing this festival today, so that's what I have to travel. And some of us have devised the limits so as to keep us in the tradition. Our brothers and sisters who don't know God are calling prayer meetings and we are watching from prayer meetings. You say our family is great. Who is leading the prayer? The man who is making this is the one, the head of the family, so he's leading the one meeting. He's the pastor of the house. Then you lead among the tradition. But I guarantee you one thing today. Either you willingly allow God to smash these idols and remove them from your heart, or because ultimately they have to smash. Smashed. If there's one thing in dealing with both God and sin in the Bible, is that they always dealt with my limits. The leader can allow and can reject it. When Aaron was a child, then Aaron allowed it and he flourished. When Moses came back, what did Moses do? He disallowed it and he destroyed it. In 1 Kings chapter 13, it was the king, Jeroboam, who allowed the building of two gold houses. It was the king, Josiah, who came down to that place to destroy the two gold houses. I think it's 2 Kings 18 or 19. It was Hezekiah, Moses' servant, the present servant. It was a figure for people to look up and be healed. It was a type, a figure of what Jesus was going to do, that at the hands of the cross, whoever looks upon the cross, looks at him, will receive salvation. And the people took the gold, they took the golden serpent
and went about worshipping it.
In Hezekiah says, he took the golden serpent, burnt it, and smashed it. It takes one leader to set up one. It takes another leader. Followers will always be followers.
But it takes a leader to look at the gold cup and follow by what it is.
This
is the gold cup.
It takes a man, a woman, who considers him or herself to be a priest of the Most High God, to look deep in his or her heart and say, this thing
that I'm carrying,
is there anything in you that you consider more precious than God?
It doesn't come down, you will go down. It could be a job, it could be a spouse, it could be children, it could be cars, it could be a house, it could be vacations.
By those things, by themselves,
are not idols.
It's what we have done with them in our hearts. Some of the traditions of the elders, they have wisdom behind them. But when you become born again, your wisdom is even wiser than theirs. And so you should be governed by the traditions of what? God. But if you are governed by the traditions of the elders, then you have not transcended to the place that God has for you. You are still an elect. The Bible says you are a slave to whosoever you obey. You cannot say you are going for deliverance today, and then you are yielding to the tradition. They said that we have to do one, well, there's something that we have to do in the village, to take money.
Yeah, but I didn't go. Let's be funded.
What great hearts have you erected in your heart? What is it that has been erected inside your heart? That is not letting you yield to the word of God. That is not allowing you to put your entire being where God wants you to be. What is that thing that you have committed to be set up in your heart that is challenging the place of God in the order of God? What other altars have you erected that's competing
in the order of God?
When you have to make choices, which one plays the prominent role? The word of God or the word of those idols? When you are confronted with a challenging situation, which is your first focus?
God or science? Brethren, I guarantee you, as long as you are in the flesh, it's going to be difficult. But in the spirit, those things are easy. I want you to talk to the Lord this morning. Hey, Father, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from myself. Deliver me from idols. Deliver me from the idols that have been set up in my heart. The ones that the traditions of my elders have erected in my heart. If you are going to be the Gideon, you must pull down that altar today. If God is going to come and stay as he should stay, that altar must be pulled down today. And only one who is truly a leader of God can be bold enough to pull it down. What about excuses that we make when it comes to the worship of God? What is that thing that we love more than God?
It's time to take it to Mount Moriah. Just like that. Christianity is a religion that requires sacrifices. It was built on the sacrifice of God for man.
It is going to grow in the sacrifice of man. Not that a sacrifice in itself means anything to God, but it is everything when it is God in us that is propelling the sacrifice.
It may not be convenient, but we can form a habit by continuing to seek God. Praying is not easy, but you can form a habit by insisting on praying. Studying the word to know God more can be challenging. Sometimes when you read it at 2-3 verses and you are sleeping, then we have to form a habit of reading the scriptures so that we can know the scriptures and we can apply the scriptures. And the scriptures can be lifted up from the pages of paper into onto our hearts. It's time to permit the fire of God to fall upon our hearts. To fall on every strange fire that has taken up residence in our hearts. Many of us are running from one place to the other, seeking deliverance. And getting entangled the more when the true deliverer is supposed to be resident in your heart. But because you have not given the true deliverer the place that he truly deserves,
we are running out of time.
Many of us are believing God for life partners that we have formed in our hearts. And so we cannot receive the one that God has for us. We have blown out what God will have given for us. The wonderful gift that God wants to give us, that He has wrapped in rough paper, they don't confess us. It is the Holy One that have come in shining covers that attract us.